Hallo.
Hallo.
Hallo. Hallo. Hello everyone, how are you? I just heard that there's some weather going on. Is that somewhere in the US or? I mean, there's always some kind of weather all around the world, but some special weather is there?
Yeah, big stuff from on the East Coast. Yeah, or I guess I probably like it's like I don't know if it's just the East Coast, but eastern part of North America. My understanding is it's actually Mexico, Canada, U.S. So,
yeah, Texas is getting hit with a nice storm, as is Pennsylvania tomorrow.
Oh wow! Okay, hope you're all safe. Stay safe.
Yeah, it's not too bad here. It's like the libraries and the university are open today. My kids are home from school, so like the local school district closed, but the university didn't close. So it's kind of, I would describe this as business as usual for upstate New York.
It is February, so should be winter time, but well. As for Germany, we had some storms, but I don't know. It's nothing too bad here at my region. I don't know about others. Since we should have some Germans here today.
Yeah, it was windy down here near the Alps, but nothing unusual, especially for winter.
Do you have snow, Julie?
On and off. So the past few days it like snowed nearly all day, like beautiful, but then it got warm and it all melted away, and then it does the same thing next day.
So no beautiful snowy
no,
landscape.
No, not at least not here in Munich. I do believe closer to the Alps probably, but I think it's just too warm here in the city for that.
Yeah, that's the same here in the northern parts. We're close to a hill, a mountain range, so it should be a similar, but the Alps are, of course, a different story.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm still getting people into the attendees list, but I want to start off the meeting because we have two topics and I hope we can get enough time for both of them. I'm sure we can manage. So I will start the meeting and I don't know, do we have someone who would like to take notes today voluntarily? All right, I will release this tension. I will just do it myself today. No, edits, that's fine. And yeah, thank you everyone for coming. And today we have our regular reporting meeting, reporting cross meeting with Angela. And then after that, we have an update from Holly for our German reminder fees. And of course, I'm excited for the reporting as well, but this is a special treat. And while everyone is still getting in, I don't know, should we already start, or Angela, do you want to just go ahead?
Yeah, we can start. Honestly, I don't have much news to share, certainly not from the resource access kind of portion of the reporting community, because we haven't met in a while. We are actually very excited because two new members will be joining our resource access team. Stanford University has built up a very large group of people interested in reporting, and two of them are interested in resource access and user management reporting. So we will meet them for the first time next week. And we're excited to get some new people with interests in this area to join us in the development efforts. I anticipate that will be that onboarding of new people will be both a chance for us to review how our work has been organized and is moving forward, but also may slow us down a little bit. So it'll be kind of a mixed blessing. Yes, I don't know. It's going to be a blessing. It's definitely a blessing, but it does mean that our focus for the next couple months might be making sure that those people are trained in how to use our reporting infrastructure, and also getting them used to Folio data in this area. So they'll be brand new, but it will be a good refresher for all of us. And who knows, maybe some of them will want to connect with the resource access SIG as well, and not just reporting. So hopefully we'll be in contact about that. The only other announcement I can make from the reporting side is that we are also starting up some really active development to convert all of the queries that we wrote for the LDP to queries that will work for the MetaDB, which is the new version of the software. And I've presented on that a couple of times, but I'm happy to recap. But basically, we have a database that pulls data out of Folio. It's using software called the LDP software right now. And very soon, we were going to more widely start using software called MetaDB. And MetaDB is really going to be a huge improvement in a lot of areas. It's going to give us more data from Folio because it's going to be able to connect directly to the Folio operational database instead of using the APIs. It is also going to allow us to stream data in near real time so that it won't rely on overnight data loads like LDP has to right now because of the API structure. And it will do more automatic processing of the Folio data, so our queries can be simpler. So it will be an improvement in a lot of areas, but that does mean that we have some work that we've already done that will need to get converted. So that'll be a process that we're working on this spring as well. Uh, I'm happy to answer questions, or I would love to hear if there's anything on the RA side that you think would be useful for us to be thinking about in reporting, or if there are any institutions who are starting to go live who feel are feeling some crunch in the reporting area. I'm also happy to hear about that.
I just saw in chat that David is not going able to respond with audio, but in chat. So, and since he is in Chicago, just went live, maybe that would be one person who could maybe speak to that, or maybe just already too, it's too early in the process. I don't know, for reports. I don't know.
Others? Angela, in the release cycle, when should we be looking for MetaDB?
We haven't gotten a firm date of when it will be kind of widely released. It is already in production. MetaDB is already being used for reshare in production. So it's being heavily used and tested on the reshare side. But for Folio, I'm not sure when the software will be transitioning in terms of both what our Snapshot database is kind of connected to, and then also what institutions will be implementing. So I will say that like MetaDB is an index data. I don't think that I'm revealing any company secrets here. You know, the index data developers are working on MetaDB, and Duke is an index data customer. So I feel like they will probably start rolling. My understanding is they will start rolling out to kind of Folio customers gradually, and we haven't gotten a date yet. So I don't know that we know. I do know that we are targeting even a Lotus release for some of our new queries. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's on the horizon pretty soon. But I don't think that, I don't think we know exactly when MetaDB is going to be kind of championed as something that that Folio institutions should transition to yet. My guess is Lotus or Morning Glory, maybe not quite as soon as Lotus, but hopefully sometime in the next couple of releases. Yeah, so David saying that there's some transition going on in Chicago from Access to DBeaver. Of course, that is definitely a different beast. So hopefully not too rough there.
David, for what it's worth, Joanne probably could talk more about this than I could, but what you're describing in the chat is basically exactly what we experienced at Cornell. Sure. You know, like that was quite the transition for people here. So you're certainly not alone, whatever that's worth.
Yeah, and each institution is sort of having to make its own choices right now about what software is the right core software for staff to use. Duke, we've been kind of stalling on making that decision because we have yet another year before we go, you know, mostly live, certainly live with circulation. But I do feel like one of the tools I've been keeping my eye on is called Nime, and I'll type that in the chat. So if anybody is not locked into a tool yet, there are a couple of options that might be worth considering that are not DBeaver. The Access tools that you had at Chicago were so impressive and so detailed and customized, and so I could imagine that's going to take a long time to transition.
Maybe we can have at one of these meetings show and tell about how people switch from one to another, from their legacy systems. I don't know if that's the right word, but to Folio maybe. That would be nice to maybe share. And I think David kind of offered to do that maybe.
Yeah.
But in a future meeting. For your information, I think we kind of switched our cycle to once a month here for our reporting meetings, because we kind of thought maybe it is too often to have it every 2 weeks, but can of course upgrade that again if we need to. So every first Thursday in the month will be our reporting meeting. and we could have some something like that. And I think in 4 weeks, maybe we can see more, have more experiences there for the implementers as well.
Definitely.
That would be, yeah, be great to hear from you all, if you like, of course.
We're trying to coordinate something similar on the reporting side. So so it may be that we could collaborate. We definitely are interested in hearing the experiences of implementers. There, again, haven't been so many implementers that are fully invested in one of the, you know, one of the LDP types of tools. And so so we've only had a couple of institutions go live. I think Cornell, TAMU, and Chicago are going to be our primary people to give their experiences, and it may be a little early for both Texas and Chicago. So I'm picturing that in the report, on the reporting side, we'll be waiting another couple of weeks or months, and then trying to coordinate some presentations from implementers.
Yes, I think that makes sense for us as well to even maybe even wait longer than and I think. Isn't reporting time is usually at the end of a semester or a fiscal year or something like that, isn't it?
There are definitely cycles in reporting where, depending on when your fiscal year ends or when your academic semesters end, you may have some really heavy reporting times.
Yeah, and I heard some interest in Germany as well for the LDP and getting to know it better. So I think that is more, even more basic level, but I think it should, I will definitely let them know as well, so that they may join this meeting as well.
Yes, I think one of the things that we really hope to do this spring, as we are onboarding new members from Stanford and from other institutions, is that we would be developing and hopefully recording some introductory sessions on what the different reporting systems look like and how they differ from basic databases. So I think hopefully we'll be able to just have a recording we can point people to if they're curious about these different databases, but we have not locked down a particular time when we're going to cover that content yet. I didn't mean that only reports were only happening at certain times of the year. They certainly happen all year round. That's an excellent point. Well, that's all I've got, and I know you have other exciting agenda topics. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Bob, did you want to? Bob?
Yeah, I love.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Bob, if anybody wants to unmute, feel free. But in the meantime, in the chat, we're talking about a couple of other solutions too. And I really like the Lehigh Google Spreadsheets solution. So that's another one to pay attention to if you don't, if you want something that's lighter weight potentially, and that will give you real-time data through the APIs.
I don't understand what that is.
Oh, so Joanne, so we had we actually have a meeting where we had a presentation on this tool in June. So I can share the reporting meeting where we covered it. But and Mark, please jump in at any point. But my understanding is that someone has built a Google Spreadsheet plugin that will allow you to kind of enter your credentials and send query requests to your Folio and fill the data into a spreadsheet.
I'm still not sure what that is, but if you have something you can share, that would be great.
Yeah, but I mean, Joanne, so you know, Google Spreadsheets is kind of the sort of cloud-based Excel. Basically, there's a way to kind of build tools inside of it with JavaScript. And so somebody has created JavaScript code that creates a little
I wasn't aware of that. No.
Yeah, tool on top of Google Spreadsheet to fill in the data.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting to see.
Our technology team has done some of it at Lehigh. And so, for example, we've got spreadsheets that we can update with things like overdues, patrons with fees, expired patrons with charges, graduating patrons with charges, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Because those are really those things that you need real-time data for. You need it to know exactly what's happening.
Did you say that this was built with the A3L report in mind, or just in general, that general functionality of pulling data through the API into Google spreadsheet?
I don't think it's ACRL specific. I mean, Mark, my understanding of what has happened is based on one presentation from last June and maybe different from what you're talking about. But I think the original plugin had some specific areas that it queried, and it didn't necessarily focus on ACRL, is my understanding.
Right, exactly. And this is Sharon from Lehigh. Yeah, that it's reports all the way around for everything that we need as they come up, and as we went to Folio, how we were going to do this. Yeah, just like David's been saying, how are we going to measure? So yeah, it's for everything, cataloging, statistics, everything.
So I've seen some of this functionality of Google Sheets in this version or this thing that you've created. Is there like a UI to change the parameters for, there is.
There's like a pop-up that shows up, right? Where you type in things.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
It is. Oh. I mean, you really have to have a programmer's eye to, but I know we have internal documentation. I think Michelle Cernofsky, who at the time was at Lehigh, I believe she presented, in some forum and probably shared out her documentation, but there is a UI, but good for programmers.
Yeah, I'm sharing, I'm grabbing the video too for that meeting. So the meeting where Michelle came to talk to the SIG, I have the notes in the chat, and then I'm also looking for the recording so you can see the demo.
That's great, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I agree there may be some security concerns if you're not kind of a Google shop, right? Like if your university has Google as its kind of system, then maybe you have some security there, but we certainly don't.
Yeah, this will be really fantastic. So I'll definitely want to take a look at this.
Yeah, let me get that video to you. And I remember, you know, I tested it out a couple of weeks ago and it was working just fine. So I added it as a plugin to my own. You know what was different though is that it was kind of user and password based access to the APIs, I think, instead of token. So that was something I noticed, or that I thought I noticed anyway. Here's the record. So I think this is the link to the recording. And this is just another example of how we always stumble on some really interesting topics here in these meetings. So I really love coming here.
Yeah, I was just saying, I'm so glad I came today.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you are always very glad to come to these meetings because they are always good.
That's right. That's right. They are always good.
When I miss it, I just feel so... So down.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. Well, feel free to reach out at any point or send along any warnings you may have about changes to data model or anything that you'd like reporting to address. But otherwise, I will just see you all next month.
I came late to the meeting, Angela. I'm sorry. Can you tell me what your role is? I'm not familiar.
Yes. Hi. So I'm the convener of the reporting SIG, and I also am the head of the resource access and user management development subteam. So we have a subteam where we meet specifically to build queries and talk about issues for resource access and user management.
Are you at a university or
I'm at Duke.
Okay.
Yep. And so I'm the interim head of assessment and user experience at Duke, and I've been a member of the reporting SIG, the Folio reporting SIG, since fall of 2018 or so. And Jana and I had decided that to give a little bit more connection between reporting SIG and the resource access SIG, that we would organize these kind of regular sessions where I would come and talk with you all. So this is an opportunity for me to share reporting news with your group, and then also for me to hear from your group any concerns you have about the data, or whether there are any tricky reports that you would like us to address, or any advocacy work that you would like us to do on behalf of your functional area.
Thanks for bringing me up to speed. I had seen you before, but I couldn't remember exactly the details. So thank you.
Yeah, we probably only went through that introduction the first time I came. So I should really just do it every time. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah. And it is also very good because we have some new members here as well. So welcome to everyone.
Yeah.
And that was good that you did that. Yeah. Maybe I should do a better work of introducing.
Oh no, everyone. I think we've gotten complacent, and it's been a couple months since I've been here, so we've sort of gotten out of our habits.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, and thank you so much for coming today. Are there any more questions for Angela today? All right. So thank you so much for coming.
No problem.
And if you like, Yeah, if you like, you can stay as usual, but we are going to go to the fees and fines department now.
That's good.
To Holly. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Holly, if you like, you can just take over.
Okay. So, hello. First of all, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to send a link in the chat to the presentation I'm doing. I'm sure it's probably already in the minutes, but just to make it easier. And then let me share my screen. Okay, so you should be seeing the German reminder fee presentation. So what I did, just for those of you who were here last time we talked about this, is I left the under related reference materials, I left the previous presentation there, the one from December 16th, with all of our notes on it. So if you need to go back to that, I'm just trying to keep everything together so that it makes it easier for me to remember what was decided in that. So in front of this, I put the new presentation. So if you recall from the last meeting, we had identified, I can't remember if it was done in the meeting or afterwards, you'll have to forgive me, but we had identified like what our high priority requirements were, what our medium priority and low priority. So we have quite a few high priority requirements. And some of these are just explaining what it is. So we're going to be adding the reminder fee to the overdue fine policy, which I'll be showing you in a minute. Kimi did the mock-ups. And just explaining that it's not the same as the overdue fee, and that it needs to have overdue fine, and it needs to have its own fee fine type called reminder fee. And that we need a process. Yes, exactly. Like it is an age to lost. Exactly. We need a process that will run, that will basically run to determine what reminder fees need to be billed and the patrons notified. And of course, we'll have settings. So each site will determine, well, if they're going to have any reminder fees. And if they will have that, do have them, what is the interval and how much should we charge? And then also for each reminder, you can determine whether or not you want to send an email notice, mail the notice, do both, whatever. whatever you want to do. And then for each reminder, you also get to set whether the patron will be blocked from any activities. So that would include borrowing, requesting, renewing. You can do all, none, one, two, whatever you want to do. The reminder fee process is going to automatically stop billing the patron after the patron has returned or renewed the item. But we're not automatically canceling or waiving what has been billed so far. The notice sent to the patron will be configurable by site. And there is a requirement to include the number the notice is. So, you know, this is notice, this is your first notice, this is your second notice, that sort of thing. And when we reach the date interval, we will be billing the reminder fee. This one is not true. Okay. And I'll show you. I wondered where that was. So originally we had talked about using some settings from overdue policy, but I ended up not doing that. And I'll show you in a minute. Sorry, I added this on here. And it actually goes here. Okay, those were our requirements. And then our medium priority requirements include how we display the reminder fees in loan history, loan details, on the checkout page, and then also updating the overdue loans report, and then creating a report that shows us who still has a manual patron block due to reminder fees so that we can manage that.
And I have one thing we talked, to the manual patron blocks, and I hope Lisa is going to put more detail in my question, because we talked about maybe having a predefined line per reminder for manual blocks. So Lisa, maybe you can help with clarifying that.
I'll try to. So in our current system, we have we can predefine blocks for the reminder fees. And because we have different ones of for example, if someone doesn't bring a book back, there won't be any block until the last reminder fee is sent out. But if a key, for example, isn't returned in time, there will be a block much earlier after the second reminder, I think. And for us, it would be just nice if it would give us more transparency just to tell the patrons why they are blocked at the moment. If we could select from predefined blocks, this is a block because a book is returned too late, or because a key is returned too late, a laptop is returned too late, for example. So that it's not only you can't borrow, you can't renew or request, but that there is a block which is predefined and which has a really transparent name. So that we can easily inform the patron what the problem exactly is.
Okay. And when we take a look at the pages, we can think about where that might.
Great.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Here we go. Okay. And then our lowest priority was allowing the site to indicate if the reminder fee should be canceled when the item is returned. You can certainly, this would be an automated thing, you can certainly waive or cancel the fees using current functionality. And on this page, I just put the requirements that already exist. Some of this stuff will already happen. And then we canceled a couple of the requirements at the last meeting because we decided that they weren't necessary. So looking at, these are the pages that Kimi updated. So one of the requirements was that we wanted to make this in a unobtrusive to the sites that don't use reminder fees. And so Kimi made it a separate section at the end. And that way, you know, it means nothing to libraries who don't use it, but for libraries that do use it, they can open it and see the data that's in the reminder fee section. Okay. For the reminder, you can specify whether a close time should be included in the interval. So if you say, you know, 1 week, do you mean 7 days when the library is open, or do you mean 1 actual week, regardless of if the library is open or not? And then also you can indicate whether you want to ignore grace periods for recalls, and then indicate whether to clear the patron block when the fee has been paid. So that's what you do on this top part here. And then the bottom part is where you're actually indicating what you want to do. So you could say you could say 1 week after it's overdue, charge €1 and send an email, but don't block anything or something like that. And then you click on this button here and then you'll add another row. So you could create, you know, as many of these things as you want. And just as an example, okay, next one. Okay, so here you can see that the user has entered in 4 reminders. The first one is 1 day after it's overdue. The second one is 3 days after the previous reminder, 1 week after that reminder, and then 1 week after the next reminder. So it's 1 week from this one, 1 week from that one, 3 days from that one. This is the fee, and this is how we will notify the patron. And it's a bit of a hodgepodge just because we wanted to show you all the options. You know, you may not choose to use 4 different ways of contacting.
You wouldn't guess. Maybe yeah, that's maybe closer maybe to reality.
And then in this case, we're blocking we're blocking all three activities, borrowing, renewing, and recalling, but we're not doing it until the very end. So when the fourth notice goes out, you get blocked. The patron gets blocked. You can do it whatever way you prefer. Let's see here. And then this is an example of how it looks. So basically you work on everything here and then you save it. And then this is how it would look after you've saved it. And then, yes.
Thank you. That looks, so far, I think it looks great. But I wanted to say Lisa has her hand up. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in on the previous slide, number 10, to this or this question with the blocking options. So in this part, for us, it would be great if we could, like, in this block section, if we could choose a predefined block.
Right.
Like, for example, PE laptop book or whatever. So and with this predefined block, the blocked options would be in place, and we would have more opportunities than only like blocking or recalling.
Yeah, I think what we'll do, some people don't use the predefined, the templates. Let me find this. So probably the best approach will be to add an option where you can select, let me see here. So if you look at patron blocks, we have templates right now here. So we could use the templates, and if there isn't a template, for people who maybe don't set up a template, we could do a standard message.
If that would be possible, it would be great for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So let me put here a template. So I can add template. And then, you know, the templates also say what actions to block. I wonder if we should just use templates. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
that was our idea, just to use templates and then to make them like selectable in this block pull down.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense. So what we would do is we wouldn't have a block thing here. We would just have a block template, and then you would select a template and the template tells you what's blocked. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great, okay. I think.
Okay, so that makes a lot more sense.
And it is more in the lines of the folio, how folio would
yeah.
project.
Yeah. So then if you want to use this, you've got to set up the templates. Excellent. Excellent, excellent. That works out really well. Good. Thanks, Lisa. And then this is just a reiteration of what we talked about before, is that we'll have in loan history, we'll say, you know, 4 of 4 reminder fees billed, or 1 of 3 reminder, you know, whatever the case is. loan details will also have the same information. And then if you click on, let's say they owe 5 euros, if you click on that, you'll open FeeFine history for the loan. And in FeeFine history, you'll be able to see all 4 fees. So in this case, the patron was charged 50 cents, 1 euro, 3 euros. And if you click on the row, then you get to see the details about, oops, then you get to see the details. So this is the, I think this is the 4th one. Yeah, reminder fee number 4. So so this is how you would see the individual fees. So once again, they all 4 show together, but then if you want detail on one, you open it and you get detail. You know, and if the person had paid it, you would see that as well. And this is all how the system works now. And then we had talked about the checkout page, putting in a message about that. But it doesn't make sense. And I'll tell you why. Because when the person is checking out, they could have 5 items. Let's say they have 5 overdue items. And one item, they could be on their 2nd reminder. One item, they could be on their 4th reminder. One item, they could be on the 1st reminder. So what would you say here? You can't say 4 of 4 reminder fees billed because they actually have 2 reminder fees billed for one item, 4 for another, 1 for another. So I just changed it to say includes reminder fees.
Yeah, I think that is
makes more sense.
Yeah, please correct me, everyone, but I think it is a valuable information that there are reminder fees on this account, but I absolutely understand that we couldn't possibly all list them here. And for me, it wouldn't be an issue to just go to the details page from there because there's a link and I could just go there.
Yeah. If the patron asks. 5, then you would go and you would see anything FeeFine type that says reminder fee, you would see all of them there.
Right. And I don't know if it looks... if it is too cluttered for the screen to include reminder fees, the note there, but it is valuable information to see that there are reminders. I don't know how others see that, but I think that's good. A good solution here. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good.
I also like it very much because we have a daily interval. We are charging reminder fees. And so for us, it would be like the 17th of 30 or something. So I like this better with our special concept of reminder.
Okay, good. And then our medium priorities are to create a report, which hasn't been designed yet, and to update the overdue loans report to include that. So any questions?
Thanks for the German here.
Unfortunately, have a question. You have to answer in English.
I have several questions, but admittedly, they do relate around to patron notices and how it all fits in together. So I'd rather say, like, if other people have questions first, please ask them here. But maybe one quick question. Holly, how's the best way for me to ask all these things? Is it Slack in this document here or straight on the feature?
I think it would be good to add it into this document so that we have a comprehensive view. Do you agree with that, Julie?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay. Cheers.
And I have to add that we already talked about notices as well. Sorry, Cornelia, you were up in it just a second. We talked about notices and that we would need some some talks with you maybe, because but I think we already started a small group, and I don't want to put you online, but I wanted to ask if you may continue that these talks then. I bring them with the questions with me then, or you will just comment here, and maybe just that we I was just wanted to I just wanted to inform you.
Or just reach out this. And let me know, don't worry. And my questions Perfect. At the moment are less about like what I would do, but it's more like just making sure that I've understood everything that Holly, like also in the background, what's going on, to make sure what the consequences are or if there are any holes to fill for patron notices.
Perfect. Cornelia, please.
Yes, Holly, could you go back to slide 10?
Yes. Okay.
The notice method, I have a question about the notice method. In earlier drafts, there was the possibility to send out, not send out a notice every time, so you can choose no.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we can make none an option. Okay.
Yes, because I think it was Lisa's library that needs that.
Yes, we would. Thank you, Cornelia. Definitely.
And would it also work the other way around? So you can use a sequence to not charge a fee, but send out a notice or set a block?
Yeah, all I would have to do is allow for a zero fee. So if I allow for a zero fee, like it can't be blank, but if you put zero in, you can select a notice method, and it could be none, and then a block template. Sure, yeah, we can do that.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Yep. Perfect. It's good that these questions are coming up.
So Holly, this is Kimi.
Hi, Kimi.
Hi. I don't have an asterisk on any of these fields. So to me, if I'm not requiring that you fill in something in the fee field by designating it as a required field, then I can assume that you don't have to enter anything. You don't even have to enter zero if you don't want to.
I'm probably going to give you, I think what's going to happen, you may not have anything highlighted, but yeah, some of this is going to have to be required.
I see.
The interval will be required, the frequency. Okay. And then and then there'll be some that'll be, if a notice method is selected, then a block has to be there. No, it doesn't have to. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so either way, mm-hmm. So it looks like all we need is the interval and the frequency. Mm-hmm. We can allow for zero or blank. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that something has to be selected here. You have to either select a fee, a notice method, or a block. You have to pick something. Otherwise, why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that would be handled programmatically. The program would say, oh, is fee empty? Is notice method not selected? Is there no block template selected? Oh, okay. So then, you know, you got to do something.
And maybe it helps to get the use case. To understand it, I mean, these kinds of notices would be sent as a friendly reminder for example, for people at the university who wouldn't get charges for
right.
staff, for example. So that would be great to have that.
Yeah, that would be useful if somebody wants to write up some of their use cases, and I can put them out here. That it's very helpful to know that you would maybe not want to bill something, but you want to block, or you want to send a notice, or both. So that's really, really helpful.
We will just add them to the pages, to the slides. Would that be helpful for you, or should
Yeah. Let's. let me make a page.
We could just comment if that is all the same.
Let's make a page.
And I just want to say, Kim, thank you, and Holly as well. Thank you so much for these mock-ups. It is really, it really looks great, and also that it is not so it is not disturbing everyone who is only using overdue fines. I think that is that's a good way of keeping them both. Yeah.
Well, and you know, there's a lot going on with this, but you don't even have to look at it if you don't use it. So
exactly. I think that this is really well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So Julie, what do you want to do? Yeah. Questions?
Maybe if we've got time now, I can start with a few and then what's left, then I'll add them. The first question I have is. Okay, so we've got four, let's say we have four reminders, and we say in each case we send an email. Beyond what we'd like, please, but just technically at the moment, when a reminder fee is charged, and in this case, Holly, it's always the same type, right? So that means it would technically always be calling out for the same template.
Oh, the reminder fee, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So it's technically here the same template that we'd have for each of the four reminders.
And
no,
we would need to update so that it says this is your first reminder.
This is what I'm talking about. So if we go back to pay, which was it, the slide 11.
Okay.
So here, if we say in this case, so notice method is all email, right? So here at the moment, there's no place to say, use this template, use another template, which at the moment would mean at the moment, it would be the same template. And again, I know Cornelian, this is what I'm asking. And I'm saying, like, I realize I'm trying to separate between what's technically happening to the fact that I realize you'd like to have different text for each of them, or have at least maybe a token that says this is number one, number two, number three, number four. But at the moment here, it seems that it would be the same template that's used.
I see what you're saying, Julie. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not that familiar with notices,
mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that we probably should add the template. Cornelia, is that what you are hoping for?
Yes, that was an urgent need of several libraries. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking about the trigger, because at the moment the trigger would be when a reminder fee is charged. And if that's one trigger at the moment, I mean, you could have several templates for a trigger, but then it means that every time it gets charged for one, two, or three, you get emails for one, two, and three. So I'm wondering, how could we separate the trigger so that a trigger is first reminder and a trigger is second reminder? And I don't know if that's something that's, I mean, I guess it would make sense to add it there, but I don't know how that fits with the whole landscape of how patron notices are configured at the moment.
Yeah, and I don't either.
That's okay. I will I will explore that. That's okay. That's fine.
I mean, it seems like it makes sense to do that here, and then it's very clear to the user, this is what we're going to send out.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm wondering. But I don't know how that fits with the whole patron notice policies generally, and then circulation rules and all these kind of things, essentially. Either that, or I don't know if there's a way that for each of these, it's a different fee fine type that is like used, that you're charged a first reminder fee instead of being charged a reminder fee. But I don't know how that works, if that's technically here you can add reminded fees ad infinitum, essentially.
We could do that. I mean, it adds a level of complexity, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
We would have to have a limit then. We'd have to say you can only have 10 or something like that. We'd have to have some kind of a limit.
Yep.
Because these are saved. The fee fine types are saved in a table. Yeah, I prefer not to do it that way.
Yeah, me too. Me too. No worries, but that's, I'm thinking.
But I think you need, yeah, when you check this out, you need to let us know, like, what would be the best, you know, what would work the best.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And then I'm just looking at the time. Last question then for here for the wider group. You've got here in the list, like, the notice methods. So at the moment, at least what Folio does automatically, for lack of a better word, is send an email. Are we going to show other options, and then people just need to know that if mail is there, then that means a human being has to go and actually write a letter in Word? Or how does everybody feel?
We don't currently have, I mean, we have a preference, and it's mail. You know, you can select mail as your patron preference. I just assume that we would automatically print out the notice to be mailed. You're saying that does not happen?
Well, we'd have to then build it. Let me phrase it differently. At the moment, what we have in Folio for informing patrons is email. Or we say we try to figure something out that it somehow produces a PDF, but I don't know how that's, like, how that works in the user interface, like at what moment, like say the, you know, the time reaches when the second reminder is reached. When does the PDF get printed? Do you have to be logged in Folio and these kind of things?
May I? So there are several things. The time we're at the end of the hour, and I just want to say that we definitely would need a different template for each and every reminder. SQL. That would be 4 in the maximum for GBV, at least, I know. And
Leipzig as well, Björn said, yeah, that's really necessary.
They would even need more, I guess. I don't know.
I'm not sure how many, but it's 4 or 5. It's not more than that.
Yeah, and I know that the last reminder in some libraries has to be a written letter. So yeah. And how it is working now in our system is that an email would be sent to one person, that is, yeah, with all the letters, and they could print it out and send it via snail mail. So, yeah. That is something I just want to get out.
No, that's fine.
That is how we would need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, every person who has not an email address, it should also be automatically be a PDF or something to be printed.
Okay.
It's really important. But I think that is also a different conversation on notices in general.
Exactly.
Right.
So, everyone, thank you so much. That was really, really nice to see. As some people also mentioned in chat, to see this moving on is so, so nice. And did I understand it correctly, Holly, that it might be something to see in Morning Glory?
So the team that's going to work on this is working on actual cost stories. So my understanding is that this will get started in Morning Glory, but it may not get finished.
Mm. Also, it then, being honestly, it depends if you want it to work, even if no patron notices can be sent. So then there's all that work to be done as well.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Everything.
We could do a thin thread.
Yeah, I mean, phrasing it differently, if you need really every single aspect to work, like, for example, you know, when you mentioned, like, something needs to happen even if there's no email address. At the moment, that doesn't, for patron notices, if there's no email address, then nothing's getting sent. So it's new functionality. If you need it all to work before this goes live, then...
But if it works with an email, then I'm slightly happy as well.
These will be part of the consensus that I'll offer and say, look, maybe it doesn't do 100%, but we can do 80%. Is this enough? Yes,
that looks and sounds really great. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
Yeah, and thank you, Holly and Kimmy and everyone.
Thank you, Kimmy, for the great designs.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. It's really amazing. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And we are so grateful.
Well, happy to do it. So
you're welcome.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So everyone, we do not have any topics for Monday yet. So maybe get ready to be
Jana?
Yeah.
Did you want to re-raise the issue that was from Monday's meeting and have a conversation about things people would want for the dashboard?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it can wait till Thursday. If that's not a reason to have a meeting if there's nothing else.
But the good that you said that. I will see if I can put up an agenda and see if we have a lot of questions. I will ask in the channel also so that we can discuss. That's great. Great. Thank you. Perfect.
Great.
Well, then next week, have a good weekend.
Yep. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.